to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house, count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! Oh, that is big! How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready, it's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time tonight coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Spring forward with amazing savings right here at the Monroe. As always, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. As always, visit MonroeSuperstore.com for all the great deals. I'll touch on some of those great deals as this hour moves on. A good show lined up tonight. John Borton, TheWolverine.com, will join us at 5:15 tonight. Of course, the University of Michigan, the 3 seed, they'll be taking on Montana. That is on Thursday. We'll have that game on Nash Icon, I believe, by the way. We'll check with Jim a little bit later on that. But we'll talk about that Michigan matchup, of course, against Montana. Ohio State, of course, is in that same West bracket taking on South Dakota State. And, again, we'll talk some college basketball with John Borton, TheWolverine.com. You know, I just got to tell you, we've been able to witness this over the last couple of years, is a tremendous, tremendous job that John Beilein does, you know, at the University of Michigan. I'm going to touch on that. I mean, they've been absolutely unbelievable. This is a Michigan club. It's 11-1 in their last 12. They've won 9 straight, and that includes the Big Ten tourney. I guess from a coaching standpoint right now, one thing you'd have to be worried about a little bit is 10 days of rest. You hear the term, well, I know you hear it a lot in hockey, but basketball as well, this time of the year, rest and recovery. I mean, it's a long season. You know, when the basketball players first showed up at campus, you know, to prepare for this 2017-18 campaign. And lo and behold, now what are you? You're 30-some, 30-plus games into this, you know, besides weekly scrimmages and practices and travel. So, again, we're going to talk to John Borton about that. He always has his, you know, his finger on the pulse of University of Michigan sports. They're the number 3 seed, the University of Michigan in the West. Then coming up at 5:35 tonight, I just find this an intriguing story, this Tiger Woods, you know, situation. There was just so many people that I think had written him off, me included. I mean, I told people I did not think he would ever win on tour again. And, you know, here he was in the hunt, and he still might not. But, you know, with back fusion, I was reading today, I think, in the Los Angeles paper that he was basically flying the ball 300 yards and 180-mile-an-hour ball speed. Now, this guy's 42 years of age. You know, he won 14 majors by the time he was 32 and won after that. But it's been 10 years since his last major, and I'm just kind of curious what Pat Lindsay, who will join us at 5:35 tonight, what he is thinking about this, you know, this whole situation about Tiger Woods. You know, he's another guy, and Rob Aller, I just don't think, really, a lot of folks had a lot of faith in him. The other thing that I find curious in this whole situation was the fear factor. Anybody that followed Tiger Woods in his career, he just would stare people down, coming down the stretch, except for maybe Bob May. You know, people just kind of withered. They couldn't execute their shots. The big crowds following Tiger. Tiger was an intimidating type of player as well, and he just basically, you know, got that look in his eye. And all of a sudden that look almost, I think at time, you know, hypnotized his opponents. So a guy that won on tour, he's a Toledo, and Pat Lindsay, we're going to talk some golf here on day one of the NCAA. Again, play-in days, both in the East and the West. West and Midwest, they get in that tomorrow as well. Jim, anything on programming tonight? I know you have the play-in game starting at 6:30. Give me a little scheduling update, please.
Absolutely, yes. And as you just mentioned, about 6:30 the coverage time, about 6:40 or so the first tip-off time of the first four play-in games. Those are tonight on the ticket. Tomorrow, those same, same round, but different teams, of course, in that first four. That'll be 6:30 again over on 100.7. And that's because we'll have an ESPN NBA doubleheader starting at about 7:30 here on the ticket tomorrow night. And then once we hit Thursday, we got the wall-to-wall between all the stations going every day.
Good stuff. Jim Cushland back at the studios. Tigers today and the Yankees, they went at it. That was a 2-2 tie. Good thing about that was the Tigers got some pitching today, and maybe, you know, maybe just the best outing. I was looking at the numbers here a little while ago. Jordan Zimmermann went five innings, allowed just two hits, and struck out four. Stump came in. He did not allow a run. Verhagen came in. He allowed two earned runs. Coleman and Farmer were very, very good. But Jordan Zimmermann, five innings, did not allow a earned run. And again, just allowed two hits. That would be, listen, let's not seal anything up here when it comes to his performance. But, boy, you need that from Zimmermann if the Tigers are going to be competitive this year. When you go up and down that rotation, of course, you have Fulmer. You're waiting for Norris to do something well. Boyd was good yesterday. Big hits for the Tigers today. You know, going up and down the list in that 2-2 tie against the New York Yankees. Let me just see what Detroit had here today. Martin had a home run, the center fielder. Ducey was 0 for 2, but he's having a wonderful spring. Cabrera 0 for 3 today. McCann was 1 for 3. Jared Saltamacchia, who will probably start the year in Toledo, was a DH. He had a hit. And the big story of the last three or four days, Jacoby Jones for the Detroit Tigers, three more hits today, pushing folks. He played both left field and center field. Rod Gardenhier said yesterday he's going to start taking some balls at third base and at shortstop. Cosman, the shortstop, made a couple of pretty good plays there for the Tigers as well. So what do we got today? Let me just take a quick look. 13th of March, we're about, about 2 weeks away from the start of Major League Baseball. Right around the corner, John Borton, TheWolverine.com. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from the Monroe Superstore. This show is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Back to talk NCAA basketball after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. We're at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. This show is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, coming to you tonight from the showroom. Little golf talk coming up at 5:35 tonight. Former touring pro Pat Lindsay, Toledo, and won on the tour. We're going to talk some Tiger and those tremendous television numbers and more. His chances, of course, coming up this weekend and at the Masters. So we're trying to warm things up for you a little bit with golf talk at 5:35 and baseball. That'll warm things up as well. Tigers and the Yankees today played to a 2-2 tie. Joining us now, our go-to guy when it comes to the University of Michigan, John Borton, TheWolverine.com. Hello, John. How are you?
Doing very well, Mike. Good to be with you.
Good to hear your voice, sir. You know what? I don't have to be sold too hard on this, but, you know, it seems like an annual conversation you and I are having when it comes to Coach John Beilein. Just absolutely outstanding. I don't think it's too carried away about anything, especially losses early in the year. But all of a sudden, we get into February, we get into March. Wolverines are 11-1 in their last 12. They win the Big Ten tourney. Something about timing and something about experience with this guy and a calmness that seems to be absolutely perfect for the Wolverines.
There's no doubt about it. John Beilein teams come around and get better and better as the season goes along. This one in particular now, Mike, has some different elements to it. He's brought in the last couple of years some guys that have really had a defensive component to them and an input that has advanced Michigan greatly in that area. And this is the best defensive basketball team that John Beilein has ever had. And it took a little bit of time for that to take hold, but they are really defending as well as doing their traditional, wrapping people into knots on offense. So, this team, when it was getting smoked by North Carolina in the Big Ten ACC tournament, you were scratching your head a little bit saying, where's this thing going? But, you know, those who have watched it a while could step back and say, you know what? They'll be there. They'll be there by mid-February, late February tournament time, and they are.
Nice to see somebody from not too far south of the Toledo area, John Xavier Simpson. And John Beilein last week in something I read, it might have been on thewolverine.com, talking about his defensive ability and the way he leads the charge on this defense that really timings everything, that seems to be playing as well as anybody in the country.
One extremely tough kid, and he has been a driving force for this team. I mean, he comes into the year, and you really didn't know where he was going to be because he's a sophomore. He hadn't played all that much last year. He was behind Derek Walton and just kind of waiting his turn. But, they brought in a grad transfer of a point guard, and it was like, okay, where's he going to be? He was really still grasping all of what John Beilein wanted him to do in running the offense. Was Xavier Simpson, but he once it started to click in, he has been a force for this team. He's a great on-ball defender. He's a tough kid. He can penetrate. He dishes. He does so many things right now. And you're right, he is a real highlight guy for this team and one that heightens its toughness level.
No, no question about that. I mean, the other thing interesting, too, I mean, when you talk about Moritz Wagner, I mean, what a matchup problem for anybody they're going to play. So defensively, they've been great, and each team has to be scratching their head, looking at film, wondering how they're going to defend this guy.
No doubt. Mo Wagner is on a mission. He is playing very, very well. And, he adds some spice to the sauce for this team because he's got a little swagger, got a little attitude. He's the guy that opponents kind of love to hate. And I guarantee you opposing coaches love to hate him when he's able to give them such fits defensively. Coach after coach that Michigan has played this year has commented on that. When you've got a guy that can go outside the three-point arc at 6'10", 6'11", and hit those threes, draw the defense out, and then put it on the floor, put it behind his back, and take it to the rack or dump it off to somebody else, that causes a lot of problems. And that's John Beilein's kind of ideal world as far as the offense, just to have that big guy that can go out and shoot the threes and really scramble up the defense and create opportunities for other guys such as Duncan Robinson, such as Isaiah Livers, the different guys that can also shoot the three and keep you really off balance.
You know, the other thing about Wagner, too, is, I mean, the game I watched basically was he's embraced by his teammates at a level that's almost unbelievable, and I've said it before in this show. You know, this time of the year, you get to tournament time, you get to playoff time in the NBA or the National Hockey League, you're playing for your teammates. You don't want to be the guy that lets anybody down. And Wagner's a guy, too, that I noticed every time I would see a clip. Boy, just one of those guys that his teammates love him. He creates a lot of excitement and a lot of enthusiasm and a tremendous work ethic.
Well, there's no doubt. All of that is true coming over here from Berlin, Germany, and kind of finding his way at first. But now he is very, very much a central figure on this team and somebody that guys can feed off of emotionally. When you see him running down the court with the tongue hanging or bellowing after a dunk, he gets them going. There's no doubt. And it's a real motivational factor. This team, I think has a little bit of personality to it, and a big part of that is Mo Wagner, and they don't back down to anybody. There are teams that, you know, traditionally try to shove them around a little bit and intimidate them, and this squad's not having any of that. They'll push back.
Hey, John, I was looking at the schedule today. The other thing I wanted to touch on here as well is rest and recovery. And here's 10 days. You know, you talk about cardiovascular. This time of the year, everybody's in shape. Those young studs, it doesn't take time for their hearts to get up to pace and get going at an athletic pace that they need to play at this level, number one. How do you view the 10 days? I mean, I know how I view it, but I hear coaches say, listen, you got to be ready. Is too much rest a bad thing? I mean, what's the perfect mix from here? Michigan fans shouldn't have any worries the way, John Beilein orchestrates things. What's your thoughts on that?
I think he does a good job of handling it, but that's a long stretch off. He'd have played a week ago if it was up to John Beilein. But the fact of the matter is, you play the hand you're dealt. I know that they are feeling very good about a Big Ten tournament championship, but they've got to put that behind them. They've had some rest and some good hard work, and really worked on some things that they haven't been able to concentrate on a whole lot since training camp, because you just haven't had that kind of a stretch off. Problem is, you've got a 9:50 game. You're playing a team from Montana, so they're kind of on their own schedule. It might hit Michigan a little bit early, but I think this team has the talent and the edge to them at this point that they'll be able to overcome that. I wouldn't be surprised at all at a slow start because of those things, but I think they'll come around.
John Morton joins us on TheWolverine.com. John, any disappointment that, the likes of Simpson and Wagner and Beilein don't make their way over to Little Caesars Arena in Detroit? Michigan State's there. Tell me about that. Listen, it's something that there's no issue there. Michigan's got to worry about, as a number three seed, to play who they're playing, but it would have been nice.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. This team would love to be playing in front of thousands of Michigan fans in the Little Caesars Arena right in Detroit, and having that short trip and not going clearly to Wichita and not playing at 9:50 at night. But those are all excuses, and they're just going to, they're not talking about it at all. They are going to play the hand that they're dealt. But it's interesting. I think there was a sense that, Michigan State was ranked up there early, and they just couldn't be moved. So you've got two number three seeds, one that played a vastly tougher Big Ten schedule than did the other, one that has some momentum winning the Big Ten tournament, and one that beat the other team, swept them 2-0, once in the regular season and once in the Big Ten tournament. So, you tell me who's the better team at this point. Obviously, the NCAA selection committee decided to put Michigan State in Detroit, and so be it. Michigan goes to Wichita, and they actually probably have overall an easier region, I would say, than Michigan State. But still, yeah, that's been a talking point, at least among fans.
Two things before we let you go, John. Number one, you mentioned the region, the West. Of course, Ohio State right up there as well. They get underway Thursday. Xavier's the number one seed. Tell me about the bracket. Any thoughts on that? And number two, what have you learned about Montana?
Well, Montana is going to present some issues in that it's it's going to be kind of a strength versus strength thing, because they forced 15.5 turnovers a game. They put on a lot of pressure defense. At the same time, Michigan's one of the best teams in the country at not committing turnovers. So, who wins that battle? The thing about Montana is they haven't played, if they can't pressure the ball and force the turnovers, they haven't played very good defense on the perimeter. They're allowing like 35% three-point shooting a game, and that's right up Michigan's alley. So, this is a Montana team that won the Big Sky tournament and the regular season championship, but obviously they're not playing at the level of competition all the time that Michigan is. They lost to Penn State this year. Michigan beat the Nittany Lions, and that's one common opponent. They both beat UC Riverside. But I think this is a team that will hang in there for a while, but Michigan should overall be able to overcome. As far as that, as far as Michigan's region, you're talking about that West region, and if they get by Montana, they are very likely to see an underrated Houston team that plays good defense, and that could give them some trouble. Michigan makes it to the Sweet 16. They run smack into UNC more than likely. And North Carolina, as I said earlier, beat them handily. There were some mitigating factors in that. Michigan had just gotten back from Maui and didn't necessarily have their legs. They were down at North Carolina. But that's still going to be a very, very tall challenge. Top of the bracket, you're talking about Xavier as the number one seed. I don't think that they are regarded as the best of the one seeds by any means. And so, you know, there's an open door there. But Michigan's got a long way to go before that it starts worrying about any of that.
Good stuff, John. As always, thanks a lot. Tell me about the publication. Tell me about the site one more time, please.
Absolutely. The Wolverine magazine comes out monthly, and we have all kinds of in-depth features. We've got a big spring football practice breakdown. You can get that by calling 800-421-7751. And thewolverine.com, part of the Rivals Network, we are on there every day. Multiple stories, great breakdowns of this entire tournament, and minute-by-minute coverage of the Wolverines from basketball to football to recruiting, you name it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you coming on, as always. And somewhere down the road, we'll check in. Maybe, who knows, maybe in a week or so to see how the Wolverines do again one more time in the West region. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, Mike. Thank you.
That's, again, John Borton, the Wolverine.com. TASS Electronics update right around the corner. TASS Electronics, boy, been with us for a long time. Al Papier, his whole crew over there. Jim, back at the studios.
Jams, it's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board, everybody. My name is Mike Miller. Special thanks to John Borton, the Wolverine.com. Talking a little NCAA basketball. Michigan Wolverines and the Buckeyes, of course, in the same region, the West region. So we talked some basketball. Tournament officially gets underway tonight with the first four games. Again, we'll have those games right here a little bit later on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Big story, I thought, one of the big stories over the weekend was Tiger Woods, of course, and his second place finish, one shot behind Paul Casey, tied with Reed, of course, and a guy over the years that we've talked a lot of golf with, been a great contributor to this show, and his name's Pat Lindsay, former touring professional, one on the tour, makes his home here in the area out in Perrysburg. Hello, Pat, how are you?
I'm great, Mike, how are you?
Very good. What did you think about number one Tiger's performance on Sunday? I guess I'll preface it with this. I was in Ontario on a team bus with satellite television with a bunch of, you know, 17, 18, 19, and 20-year-old high-end hockey players, and our satellite television was basically transfixed to Tiger Woods down the stretch. And, of course, I woke up yesterday morning and read the news that highest-rated golf tournament in 5 years, except for the majors, to watch Tiger play on Sunday. I mean, it really is a phenomenon.
Well, it is unbelievable. It's fun to, as a fan that I am, it's fun to see him back, and it's interesting to see how the younger guys may find a little bit of this intimidation that they didn't think they were going to see again. And I think they're going to find that playing with him or around him is going to be a little more difficult than they thought.
No, no question. That's one of the questions, Pat, I had written down for you today. That's definitely going to be a factor. And, you know, he's playing this week in Arnold's tournament number one. And, you know, I said for a couple of years, I might have been wrong. A lot of these young guys come out and they have absolutely no fear of a Tiger Woods. I mean, but it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. Something else I read today, I think it was in the Los Angeles paper, about his ball speed, 180 miles an hour after back fusion. Listen, you taught the game, you played the game professionally. What did you see about that? I mean, to generate that type of speed with a little bit of a different swing, did you see a major overhaul there in his, I guess it is mechanics, I'll put it that way?
Well, you know what I've seen is it's a much freer swing than the last few times that we've seen him. You know, with the balky back, he's been kind of diving at it and lunging at it, trying to generate power. And, you know, with all that movement up and down, it's been hard for him to get the ball started online and keep it online. I'm sure you saw this as well. He's standing up. He's tall. He's level. He's staying level for the most part. And he doesn't look like he's really swinging at it all that hard. And he's swinging at about 125 miles per hour. So when that's the stuff that you always look for is the easy power. When somebody's feeling strong and flexible, and they don't look like they're really trying too hard, and the ball is exploding off the face, you know the guy's got some speed.
You know what? I guess the other thing that stood out to me, and I didn't read this any place, but, you know, interviewing athletes over the years and being around athletes for almost 40 years, boy, and you're the right guy to ask for this. You know he wants to win badly, just like everybody else on tour. I get that. But there's a little bit of a sidebar here with Tiger right now. Would him, in your eyes, Pat Lindsay, wanting to win so badly, would that get in his way at all?
Well, it can, but I tell you, I don't think anybody's had a mind as strong as that guy since Jack Nicklaus was in his prime. I think he knows how to control that, and I think he still feels that the fans will be on his side when he gets into the position, which I know he will. He's got another week here at Bay Hill. He'll play well, I'm sure. He's building up this great momentum. I can't think of a better way to do that going into the Masters. I think more than anybody, he's going to be able to control that, and he's going to be able to take it one shot at a time, which a lot of people can't do. Everybody's looking forward to, well, you know, where am I going to finish today? Where am I going to finish at the end of the week? I think he's going to be a lot stronger mentally than that.
Hey, tell me a little bit about this. I guess the one thing I would see in a flaw, and again, we've talked about this, there's nothing better in the middle of winter of watching Sunday golf when you're at home and it's warm and you're looking at sunshine with about a foot of snow in the backyard. But I've witnessed him, like a lot of other people, over the last couple of weeks and a little bit towards the end of last year. I think he can hang right in there, but I'm still not convinced that, well, like a lot of pros, isn't prone to a couple of big mistakes around, you know, firing a double in there or maybe even a triple. Do you feel that way?
I do on some courses, but I don't think that's going to be true at Augusta. I think he's so comfortable there. And like I said, he's right building up into this momentum program that I don't see him, you know, like you're probably thinking amen corner. Can he get it on the green on 12? Can he keep it out of the pond on 11, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't think he's going to have any trouble with that. Now, I don't think he's all the way back yet. I think his pitching and chipping it may still be a little questionable, but you can obviously see from when he looked like he had the yips a year ago, he doesn't seem to have those problems anymore, but certainly he doesn't have that short game that he had 10 years ago, but who would? But I think, I don't know, I think he's building up to the point now, if he gets in the hunt, I don't think he's going to make any big errors, really.
No, it's going to be interesting to watch. He won 14 majors, by the way, before the age of 32. He's 42 years of age now. Pat, anything I missed on Tiger that you know, you think's important? I think you touched on just about everything. Anything else that stands out?
Well, I guess in my personal opinion, I love his deportment now. I love the way, you know, if he makes a double, he doesn't look like he's going to break a club or cuss or anything. And I think the younger players out there, and I've noticed and I'm sure you probably have as well, over the past year or two. These guys, you know, they miss a 12-footer and they act like, oh, my goodness, I never miss a 12-footer. Well, come on, man. You're not going to make all those things. Yeah, come on, grow up a little bit. Don't throw your hat on the ground and look at the sky. Pick your ball, tap it in, pick your ball out of the cup, go to the next tee. I'm really sick and tired of watching these guys just out of college act like they've never missed a 15-footer. I'm sick of that. I love the way Tiger behaves now. They ought to be copying him.
You know, what a great observation that was. Do you watch Faraday at all?
No.
His show on the Golf Channel is pretty good. He had, my favorite. And, listen, I root for Tiger all the time. But, I'll be honest with you. I want to, just because I'm in that age group, I think you and I are about the same age, Pat, that I want Tiger to hang on to, Jack to hang on to those 18 majors, by the way. But he was on David Faraday the other night talking about preparation. You know, and he says, you know, the other tournaments were one thing. But he goes, I prepared for the majors. And he really kind of, you played in a number yourself. He really got into the nuts and bolts about not getting too high for these majors where it affected the way he played and not getting too lackadaisical. Jack was talking about that fine line that he tried to mentally and physically get in. Can you touch on that as all? I mean, you were in that era. There was nobody better than doing that.
Well, I remember playing. I played with Jack Nicklaus in the first two rounds of the Milwaukee Open. And I remember saying to him on the second day, I said, Jack, did you see the paper this morning? He says, no. He says, I don't read the paper when I'm in a tournament. Last thing I want to hear is somebody telling me how great I am or how bad I am. I ignore it. I said, I'm here to play golf, and I ignore what's going on in the newspaper. And I thought, man, that's really great. That's one of the reasons great players are great players. They're in their own cocoon. They don't let other people invade what they're thinking. They don't let them get into their heads. And I'm sure Tiger's the same way.
No, good stuff, Pat. Great hearing your voice. I might give you a shout Masters Week. What's going on? You got any good buys out there in the real estate industry?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I just got this property out on Stitt Road in White House. It's just out past Fallen Timbers Golf Course. It's a beautiful 2,800-square-foot, 3-bed, 2.5-bath, full-finished basement with an attached 2.5-car garage, and it's also got another 2-car garage, separate building with lots of storage, and it's right on the hike and bike trail out there, and it's priced at $439. But unfortunately, I sold the thing, so I can't really brag it up.
Congratulations, by the way. Good work for you. Great hearing your voice, and great contributor when it comes to golf on this show. It's appreciated, Pat. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
Pat Lindsay, Toledoan, former touring professional, won on the tour, talking about it was riveting. I mean, I did not see it coming. I mean, I think I said on this show, you know, I asked that question about Tiger getting in, you know, his own way, wanting to win so bad, and I can't help but think about a guy that I really like on the Golf Channel is Brandel Chambly. Basically saying, I've heard him a couple times, he's got no chance of winning. So, I mean, I think Tiger's got a kind of, like Jack did, like Pat just touched on. You know, you can't get too carried away by the folks on the outside telling you whether you can or you can't. But it's a riveting, you know, it's going to be sentimental too. Tiger has done very well at Arnold's tournament, of course, coming up this weekend. So basketball, golf, heading towards Augusta National and the Masters. Baseball right around the corner. That time of the year, everybody. Back to close it out after this.